Thorough, cutting edge with essential information. Unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here. With detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team, WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome to the October edition of Bird's Eye View. With the election just days away, we're taking an inside look at our local races. We had the pleasure of talking to local candidates about their campaign, and now it's time to dive in. I'm Ritz Navarro-Lopez, the News and Sports Operations Director.
And I'm Katrina Peterson, the News Director.
And I'm Anna Marie Schutt, the Bird's Eye View Producer.
How are you ladies doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back once again.
I'm great. I'm very optimistic about the upcoming elections. I feel as though the country is going to move forward with a strong, clear vision. It's 2020, after all.
We have a packed show for you guys today, all about who's on the ballot. We're going to start out hearing from County Clerk Kathy Michael about voting in the community, then Abby Sorrells, who's running for coroner. Then we'll hear from Robert Fazzini and Kevin Woodard, who are running for auditor. Next, we're going to hear about the county board race for District 4 between Adelita Cruz and Benjamin Webb. Then we'll hear from incumbent Dan Brady and his opponent Kimberly Cummings for the 105th District State Representative race. And last but not least, we'll hear from Rodney Davis and Betsy Londrigan running for the 13th District Congress House Representative. All that and more coming up right after the break, so make sure you stick around.
The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View.
With the pandemic, there are so many options for voting this year. And as of today, McLean County reports 5,806 early voters have already casted their vote, and then another 8,845 have already voted by mail. And that is not including the Bloomington Election Commission.
There's definitely such a big difference between the 2016 election and this one. In a Washington Post article, they reported that over 58 million Americans have already voted early nationwide, which is 114% of early voters from the previous election.
Kathy Michael did say Normal has more judges and equipment at East Lynn Mall. I've personally been putting off voting, but Kathy told me students get free parking at the Bone Student Center when you vote. All you have to do is show your I voted sticker. Now, our very own Cameron Kelly talked with County Clerk Kathy Michael on how different voting looks this year.
Constituents of the 13th District.
Davis.
McLean County is communicating to other counties about ways to stay safe at the polls. All Illinois counties are outreaching and trying to get a high voter turnout. County Clerk Kathy Michael says that everyone who works elections care about the voting process, the representation of their counties, and the respect of the voters.
I know in our county, and I don't know that all counties are doing this, but we're sending a postcard, a confirmation postcard. Every time we get a ballot back, we let you know that we got your ballot. So if you don't get a postcard back, we are trying to get the word out, call us, let us know. We want to make sure it's not lost in the mail or something didn't happen.
There was a mailing mandate issued by the government due to COVID where everyone got an application, not a ballot sent to their homes. Normal had a huge response with 17,000 applications returned, and Bloomington had about the same. This is an abnormal year because previous years the application response was about 800.
But voting by mail, I think if everything runs smoothly in every county or nearly every county, you know, with no big problems, I think each year you're just going to, this is the way of the future. Early voting is actually as popular or more popular than voting by mail.
MIF Buster Michael says that it is illegal to count votes before 7 on election night. The county is able to process mail ballots to make the load lighter when counting them. Releasing results early could sway the election. Michael also says that she has been telling candidates to hold off on celebrations because there might be a delay in the final result.
When the results start going online and you can start seeing how the precincts are coming in, at the very end, when we think we're almost done, those are all still unofficial. And they're unofficial for at least 2 weeks because we have 2 weeks for ballots to come back to our office that can be counted as long as they are postmarked November 3rd.
It is possible that the county can get hundreds of ballots the day after the election. Election Day is November 3rd, and Michael encourages everyone to vote early and emphasize that polling is happening in person. For all your election information, visit WZND.com. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Cameron Kelly.
I think this piece is so important to highlight how different things actually are. One thing that stood out to me was the fact that the county is sending confirmation postcards, and there's so many people who are worried about their votes being lost in the mail or somehow messing up their vote. I just think postcards offer some sense of relief.
Absolutely, and I've heard from multiple people they've received either something in the mail confirming their ballots, or some friends in Chicago are getting email confirmation, which is really nice too. And I know one person who actually received in the same day confirmation that her ballot was received, and then another card saying that there was a mistake, so she had to go vote in person.
Yeah, and I had actually requested a ballot and totally forgot about it, so then I went to vote early, and they had to confirm a few things and do some other stuff, and it was an inconvenience for them, but it really only took a few minutes, so it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And so after hearing that people were receiving confirmation like this, it made me nervous because I did mail-in vote for Kane County, where my family and I live, and I don't know if they received something, but I looked it up online to make sure, and you can actually put in your information, and it will tell you if your ballot has been received or not.
Kathy Michael told me that she's encouraging everyone to vote early, and with these postcards, she's also encouraging people to call in to the county clerk's office if they did not receive the postcard. The results will be coming online for each precinct, but official results won't be until 2 to 3 weeks from November 3rd. Kathy did say this is especially true for our tight local elections. There are a few county positions that are widely debated on whether they should even be elected. Gavin spoke with Democratic Coroner candidate Abby Swirls.
One of the more unusual positions to be elected this November is the coroner. The candidates for McLean County are Kathy Yoder and Abby Swirls. Swirls has an extensive education background, having a master's degree in nursing. She says she has developed relationships with law enforcement and emergency medical services from working in the emergency department.
So I actually have kind of always wanted to be a coroner, I guess back since, you know, I started college. I just really enjoyed kind of the different aspects of the office. So I like the investigation aspect, and I like the medical aspect. And then I also like the interaction with the families that you get.
Sorrels believes that she could bring more positivity to the office.
My positive attitude is something that's very much needed in that office. There just really needs to be a much more positive work environment there. And anyone who has ever worked with me or knows who I am knows that I definitely bring a really good energy level all the time.
Sorrels also says that her political beliefs have no effect on how the office will be run. The coroner is an important position, especially in these times of pandemic. Sorrels wants to utilize post-mortem testing to accurately report COVID deaths.
I think the only definitive way is to have post-mortem testing. If the patient hasn't already been tested, when they get to the coroner's office, if there's any suspicion at all that they were sick, or if they had a stroke, or any of these other things that we're finding that are related to COVID, they should receive post-mortem testing.
Kathy Yoder was appointed to the role in 2014 before being elected to a 4-year term in 2016. Yoder says that it is very expensive to train staff to be death investigators. This is why she received death investigation training from St. Louis University. Yoder also believes the office should not be a political one. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Gavin Broderick.
Coroner really is an interesting elected position. I think right now, especially like Gavin and Sorrels mentioned with COVID-19, there's so many, I guess, like conspiracy theories about like fake numbers and fake tests and all of that.
Absolutely. In that piece, you actually only heard from the Democratic candidate, Abby Swirls, and unfortunately, we weren't able to get in touch with Kathy Yoder because she's a very, very busy woman.
Luckily, she was able to answer our candidate questionnaire. She tells us she does not think the coroner position should be an elected position. She also explains the best way to budget is to have a good work environment and pay that would keep qualified staff in the office. For now, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere just yet. We have so much more to cover. Stay tuned and listen to our county board and auditor positions. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to the Bird's Eye View. So far, we've covered general voting and election info from County Clerk Kathy Michael and the coroner race. Next, we have another one of these positions that it's been kind of debated about if it should be an appointed or elected position. WZND's Leo Stodeher talked to candidates for the auditor race.
The McLean County Auditor is an official elected to hold other departments in the county accountable. A few of the auditor's duties include analyzing county expenditures, auditing internally, monitoring county assets, and reporting financial figures. There are three candidates in the county race this year: Republican incumbent Michelle Anderson, Democrat Rob Fazzini, and Libertarian Kevin Woodard. Woodard is hoping that his Libertarian platform will allow him to develop bipartisan relationships with the officials he will be working with.
I'll be an independent auditor, and one thing along those lines is I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, so I don't have any ties to those systematic structures that are in place here in the county. But having said all of that, I'll be independent, but I want to be able to work with other people as well, and I believe I can do that so that things are better for everybody.
Robert Fazzini, the Democratic candidate, has proposed the idea of making the auditor position an appointed one rather than having it be an elected office. McLean is one of only 17 counties in Illinois that elects an auditor.
The auditor really shouldn't be an elected position. It ought to be independent. And it shouldn't be beholden to any political party for getting the job. And then as I researched it, I found out that out of the 102 counties in Illinois, 85 appoint their auditor, only 17 elect.
Fazzini says that he would propose a referendum for the voters to decide if the auditor position should be elected or appointed.
Whatever the voters decide, that's what it'll be. But I thought it would have a good chance of passing if the person elected to the position ran on that basis, and that was part of the platform, and that the auditor in the position was asking that the position no longer be an elected one.
Fazzini is also advocating for a salary decrease of $25,000 for the auditor. The election will be held on November 3rd. For Bird's Eye View and WZND, I'm Leo Stoddaher.
Leo did try to reach out to Michelle Anderson, but we unfortunately could not get a hold of her. But one thing that was interesting about this piece was both Woodard and Fazzini are somewhat on the same page as far as the auditor either being appointed or not being affiliated with a political party. And it kind of makes you think, like, what the point of a party affiliation for positions like auditor or coroner even really means.
Yeah, and roughly a year ago, I was actually able to attend the press conference where Fazzini announced his candidacy for auditor. And it's really interesting to see that he's still advocating for those same issues, like it being an appointed position rather than elected. And I remember being in the room when he said he wanted to decrease the salary and being so shocked when he says he wants to lower it by $25,000.
Yeah, and last fall, Treasurer Rebecca McNeil accused incumbent Auditor Michelle Anderson of changing how the county books revenues and expenses. In talking with county residents, the question that always comes up is, how are you going to be more transparent?
Absolutely. And coming up next, I took a look at some of the county board races. In my piece, I had the pleasure of speaking to both candidates seeking the fourth seat on the McLean County Board District. And while both Adelita Cruz and Ben Webb may seem different, they are both seeking to improve the county.
While many think the election is on November 3rd, it has already been underway for weeks in McLean County due to early voting. Last October, William Casely announced he would not be running for re-election for the 4th District on the McLean County Board. Now, Adelita Cruz and Ben Webb are both running for the district. Cruz says she has three major priorities she is focusing on. She wants to focus on mental health by making sure there are services available for those struggling and access to drug treatment programs. Additionally, she is focusing on transportation and infrastructure to ensure safety when farmers and day-to-day citizens are traveling. She is also advocating for services, support, and other programs to help veterans in the community. Cruz explains why she is a fit for the county board.
Really looking forward to, as a member of the county board, getting out in the community and knowing the citizens, not just within my district, because I'm now going to be responsible for assisting all of McLean County. And that's what you can expect from me. I also have the experience and the knowledge necessary to be an effective member of the county board.
Cruz says she manages a contact center for a Fortune 50 company where she works on staffing, the budget, and long-term and short-term strategies. She explains this work experience will tie in directly to the county board seat. Ben Webb, on the other hand, works as a teacher at University High School. Webb says the main issues he is focusing on is addressing the issues the pandemic exposed with school systems, health departments, and the election. He says he wants to bring departments together to discuss what they need to improve, hear more voices, and improve systems of communication.
As soon as I can knock on doors, I'll be knocking on doors not just on people who align with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party as independents, or people who aren't aligned to any party whatsoever. I think it's more about people. It's about bringing people together. And so I'm happy to kind of come at it from that standpoint of saying, I will listen, I will hear you, and I will take what you have as an opinion into those board meetings, into those committee meetings.
Ben Webb says there needs to be accountability and transparency from the county board and more communication from local individuals. He emphasizes the need to improve and finding the tools to be successful in the county and not just going back to the way things were before the pandemic. The election will come to an end on November 3rd. For Bird's Eye View and WZND, I'm Ritz Navarro-Lopez. Each candidate definitely has a strong campaign and specific issues that they want to address. Kruse emphasized that she wants to be efficient and effective while also looking to help the citizens of McLean County. And while Ben said there needs to be more accountability and transparency from the county board, he was also very passionate about communication from local individuals.
Accountability and transparency at a local and nationwide level, I think, is really important to people in this election, whether it's like policies, budget, whatever, but people just don't want to feel like they're being lied to.
Another important county board race we were unable to cover was the race for District 6. Democrat candidate Hannah Beer and Libertarian David Scarpelli are fighting for that seat. Beer is actually a student here at ISU who, in the primaries, was sort of an underdog, being that she ran against George Gordon, who was on the board for over 20 years. Interestingly, Scarpelli was a former infantry man at Pennsylvania Army National Guard. So be sure to stick around, and we will hear from candidates running for the Illinois House of Representatives 105 District and for the Illinois 13th Congressional District.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to 103.3 WZND. You're listening to the Choosing Candidates edition of Bird's Eye View. And in this next race, Anna Marie actually had a chance to talk with the candidates running for the Illinois House of Representatives 105th District, with one of the candidates being our very own local Normal Town Council members.
It was really interesting talking to both of the candidates. They come from really different backgrounds, but they have both ended up here running for state representative. I talked with Kimberly Cummings, who's on the Normal Town Council, like you said, and then incumbent Dan Brady. Most people around here know Dan Brady. If you drive basically anywhere in Bloomington Normal, you'll see his signs. So it's a big challenge to take on running against someone who has been like a pretty strong anchor in the community. And I did ask Ms. Cummings about this, which you'll hear more about.
If you look up a state representative job description, it'll tell you it's someone who serves in a state-level legislative branch. However, the two candidates running for the 105th District will tell you it's much more than that. Democratic candidate Kimberly Cummings currently sits on the Normal Town Council, but her involvement and interest in politics began much earlier. Originally from Cleveland, Ohio, Cummings grew up knowing the importance of voting, after helping her grandmother in door knocks and fundraisers encouraging the community to vote. From Ohio, she moved to Arizona, where she worked on the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, which worked toward illegal racial profiling for immigrants. She later moved to Bloomington Normal, where she got involved with the NAACP and served on the Children's Discovery Museum Board. Cummings says this is the right time for her to be elected because it's time for change.
We are at an impasse, and we have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we do things, between social justice and social equity reform being at an all-time high of necessity. We're seeing with the pandemic and all of it, you know, multifaceted effects.
As someone who has been close to homelessness herself, Cummings says she understands the struggles of people in the community. Going up against a 20-year incumbent in this election, she said some of her friends thought she was a little crazy. Republican State Representative Dan Brady has been in office since 2001. He also was introduced to politics early in his life, with a father as a lawyer who ran for judge as well as the vice chair of the Republican Party of McLean County, and a grandfather who was at one time the Democratic county chairman of McLean County as well. One of Brady's top priorities for the district is budgeting, including the state's contingent response to COVID-19, as well as higher education. He would like to focus on unemployment and small business issues in regards to COVID-19. Brady continues to work on the AIM High program, which is a tuition grant program. He expands on what he would like to do to help costs of public higher education in Illinois.
Priority, of course, is the budget priorities of public education, and then creating a funding formula for higher education and creating performance-based funding would help institutions of higher education better meet their needs.
Brady says his efforts for leveling the tuition is to help encourage more students to choose Illinois. Because of the pandemic, Brady expressed how different campaigning has looked this year. Normally, he says he would go to sporting events, breakfasts, and have a chicken fry. This year, the chicken fry was able to happen, but as a drive-thru. Even with the virtual events, he said he felt he did not get the networking and personal connections with people in the community. The election is on Tuesday, November 3rd. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Anna Marie Schutt.
So one of the really contrasting ideas these two candidates had was voting by mail. Cummings said she was in full support of it, as she voted by mail when she went to school, and she mentioned how people in jail who are waiting to be sentenced still have the right to vote by mail, which I thought was really interesting. And then Brady, on the other hand, said he voted no when it was first before the legislature, but supported it when it was being controlled by local election authorities because he felt more confident.
I actually saw Brady at the post office one day, and we got to talking about how he trusts the local government. At the federal level, I spoke to the USPS Strategic Communications Officer Tim Norman about the capacity of the Postal Service. The Postmaster General Louis DeJoy says the Postal Service delivers 433 million pieces of mail a day. Even if all Americans were to vote by mail this year, 330 million ballots over the course of the election would only be three-quarters of what the Postal Service delivers in one single day. We were talking about how the closest races are going to be affected by mail-in ballots coming in postmarked for November 3rd. And one of those closest races is the Rodney Davis and Betsy Dirksen Londrigan race. Republican incumbent Rodney Davis and Democrat candidate Betsy Dirksen Londrigan are fighting for the congressional seat in District 13. College students may have concerns about student loan debt. Davis passed a law as part of the CARE package. This will allow employers to treat student loan debt like they treat tuition reimbursement.
And frankly, remember that student loan bill that I just told you was signed into law? It was supported by President Trump. It was supported by his administration and many Democrats and Republicans.
Dirksen Londrigan says she believes millionaires and billionaires need to pay their fair share, which can be achieved through the fair tax, which she supports. She says 97% of people in Illinois won't see a change in their taxes, or they may be lowered, which she says will help college students stay ahead after graduation and will help the middle class.
You know, the gap between the haves and have-nots grow exponentially. And, you know, Congressman Davis was the face of the 2017 tax bill. And I disagree with that tax bill. Over 60% of the benefits went to the wealthiest 20%. It was a massive giveaway to corporations.
Davis says there shouldn't be a divide in this country because everyone should have the opportunity to achieve the American dream.
No matter when a politician says that this is only going to be paid for by the millionaires and billionaires, don't believe us. In the end, it's the millionaires and billionaires that can leave Illinois and then leave you with the tax burden for the spending.
Dirksen Londrigan says voting for candidates that represent you is the best way to work on climate change and ideological division.
Do you like the world that we're living in right now? Do you like the way it's been constructed and built for you? Do you like what you're seeing on television? Do you like the way that our earth is being treated?
Davis says he sponsored a bill that is geared towards nationalizing law enforcement reform that specializes in social justice training.
I think defunding the police is the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard as a member of Congress. I owe my life to two courageous African-American police officers. They're my heroes, and they always will be.
Dirksen Londrigan says she has participated in peaceful protests this past summer, and she wants to address systemic racism. She says she's been trying to listen to Black and brown communities to be ready on day one.
And as far as the college campuses go, you know, those are the places where students are learning how to live, you know, live together, work together. And I think, you know, recognizing the issues is the first step, and then working together to address them. And I'm committed to doing that.
The election is 9 days away, and early voting is available in the Bone Student Center from Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Katrina Peterson. In talking with these candidates, they are both pushing specific policies that I believe are hard-hitting for college students, and one of those is climate change. Dirksen Londrigan says she wants to maintain full funding of the Natural Resources Conservation Service to promote conservation of land and water. And she explained to me that Davis voted yes to pull out of the Paris Accord, which she believes was a poor decision. Davis, on the other hand, is seen as a friend of agriculture. And I went to Lexington Farm not too long ago where I saw Davis, and he said he supported this new pennycress weed. Davis serves on two Farm Bill conference committees and has helped produce farm bills that are more for the research aspect.
This bird's eye view has definitely been so insightful. I don't think I've ever felt so educated about local government going into an election season. It's so important to be educated, especially during this election specifically. Being ready to vote and being educated to vote is just as important as being registered and casting it at all.
Absolutely. So that is going to wrap up this month's edition of Bird's Eye View. We talked about county board races, auditor and coroner, state rep race, Congress House race for District 13, and learned about how voting is working from our county clerk. We are not done giving you all the information you need for this election, though. We have updates on WZND.com, and we will be having an election show on November 3rd at 8 p.m., so make sure you tune in for that. We'll also have reporters live from polling places with updates all day on Election Day. Thanks for listening to this Choosing Candidates edition of Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
That's it for this month's edition of The Bird's Eye View. To hear this and other past episodes of the show, find The Bird's Eye View podcast on WZND.com or in the iTunes podcast store. And as always, for up-to-the-minute award-winning local news, sports, and weather, stay tuned to 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.